What up, yo? Sorry, we had to we had to restart. Let's see. Let's go. Hey, sweet tooth gems and grills. What's up, Joe? What's up, Catastrophe? All right, Brandy, I'm about to invite you in. And boom. What up, y'all? It's about time we get this started. Brandy, you got my invite? Hey. While we're waiting, just want to let you guys know that I'm working on a TV pilot. This is my first TV pilot, and the pilot is actually based on a true story. It's based on your girl Kelda Music. I'm gonna cast a girl to play me. For this pilot and pretty much tell my whole life story. Nope, mine says requested. Hold on, girl. I'm about to invite you again. Boom. Oh, thank you so much, love. Yeah, so this will be my first TV pilot, and it's just going to be, it's a pilot that's going to explain the journey about my career. My career in the hip-hop industry, in the entertainment industry. So, you know, I really look forward to sharing that with you guys, and hopefully the pilot gets picked up to where we're broadcasting on, you know, major or independent network. So, Brandy, I'm gonna invite you again, sis. I just invited you again. Oh, there you go. Ah, better.
Yes, and I think the connection, I can hear you perfectly well.
Okay. All right, well, I don't know where everyone else is, but, you know, hey, I'm sure they'll chime in soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys, welcome to Diva Talk Tonight, the podcast show. Got my girl Brandy here. Diamond will be joining us shortly. And we got a special guest. We got Julia B. Lashes, Lashwear, who will be joining us, also known as Tootie. You know what I'm saying? That's my girl. So, yeah, might as well. Let's jump into the first topic here. So, I know you've been hearing a lot about this, especially from all the blogs and stuff. But, man, what's up with the baby? With the homophobic comments and
I know. Oh, God. I'm like, so I'll say this. So I was online yesterday, and everybody, well, lots of people know Zoe. I am Zoe or Zoe. He was on Wildin' Out. He's a big present. He has a big presence on social media. Do you know who that is?
You know, I'd probably do if I saw his face.
Yeah. Well, it's like Zoie, whatever. Y'all know who I'm talking about. But he had a long live addressing it, and it was a good mix up of comments about people who felt both sides of the conversation, meaning there were people that were on board with how offensive it was and thought it was completely in poor taste and just completely derogatory. And then there were people that actually were in the room defending his right to his opinion and his comments and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I did catch the clip, you know, right after it all happened. Mm-hmm. And I was just like,
what exactly did he say? Because I didn't watch the clip.
So, I'm not verbatim, so don't quote me. But basically, he had just finished performing a song. And he was like, shout out to all the people up in here that didn't come in here with AIDS and all these diseases, carrying and stuff. Also, shout out to the people that's not sucking dick in the parking lot and doing all the, you know. And he said something more related to men doing that to men. And then he said something about having AIDS, something about being gay and out there sucking dick on the under and all that kind of stuff. And then he said one more thing that I don't remember exactly what it was. I have to double check. But one of the things that the reason why I brought up Zoe, because he said he made a really good point to the people who were trying to defend the baby. And what he said was, just imagine if it wasn't about, let's say, the LGBTQ community. What if he had said, shout out to all the real strong women out here that's smart enough to leave a man when he putting his hands on you, when you ain't a dumb bitch out here getting beat on. Or shout out to all the real women who know how to wear the right outfits so you're not getting raped left and right. And then some of those people might understand the backlash and the hoopla surrounding it, you know. But it is a big debate about censorship, about it being his show. There go our girl Diamond. Hey boo.
Hi.
You know, so I definitely, obviously we're on the podcast, so we are in form of free speech and opinion. But when it comes to hateful speech and it comes to derogatory, I think it was just in poor taste. I think if he does say he's entitled to his opinion, absolutely. But you are in here, what was it, the Rolling Out Loud concert. You are speaking to the masses, and that's the problem. Everybody can feel how they want to feel, and it would be my opinion that he was speaking ignorantly and needed to be educated and what have you, all that. But he is still, no matter what I think, entitled to his opinion. It's just the platform that he chose to share said opinion was no good, especially to people that, you know, were out there to support him. Now, I don't listen to his music. I ain't gonna need to lie. I hear what's played on the radio, and that's it. So I don't know if in a lot of his songs he talks like that. So I would imagine if that's the case, those people probably in his concerts anyway. That doesn't make it okay, but a lot of the argument is like, well, a lot of people are going to hear this. A lot of people are going to be offended and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, you know, I don't think he should have done that. That's my opinion. I don't think he should have done that, though.
No, that was a bad move. Because like you said, we all have our own opinions about everything, but you have to realize that you are talking to the masses. You're at one of the major concerts, and you have people that are, you know, gay and lesbian that support you, that came and paid their money to watch you, to hear their favorite songs, and then you're bashing them. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, oh, right. Man, like, there's... and. Like, from my perspective, I don't think there's anything that could even clean that up. Like, it doesn't matter who your publicist is or whatever. Like, you said that.
It is, it is hard, because I didn't hear his apology. I heard he made one. I didn't hear it. So when I first saw the little clip, the first AIDS part, I ain't gonna even lie, I'm gonna just be fully transparent. I wasn't offended by that comment, because I didn't take it the way most people took it. And maybe I was being naive, but when he said it, I took it to mean that there's a lot of people that do have unprotected sex knowing that they are carrying diseases, and they are not sharing that information with the people that they sleep with. And so again, maybe it was his delivery, and call me stupid, I don't care. But when I first saw the clip, my initial thinking in regards, not to the rest of what he said, but just until when he was talking about AIDS, I was kind of like, well, what people mad for? Because I would like, shout out to the people out here who not, you know, sleeping around with people who got AIDS. I feel like if you're not disclosing your situation, if you have a situation, which a lot of people do when you out here smoking at concerts, drinking and doing all kind of stuff, and you know you got venereal diseases and all kind of stuff going on, it's a lot of people that do that. So when I first heard it, that's where my mind went to. I didn't immediately go to, oh, he talked about gay people out here and doing that. And then when he followed up with his comments, I can see how that connection was made. And I was like, wait a minute. What you talking about, baby?
Oh, yeah.
Where you going with this? But my initial thought on the first part of his comments, though, I did not think that. I personally just didn't take it directly. Maybe that's because I haven't experienced that. I don't have anyone close to me that I know experienced that. And so maybe that's why a lot of people who have understood it differently than I did. But that's just the way I heard it the first time. That's just what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Diamond? Did you hear what the baby said on stage at the Rolling Loud concert? Oh, we can't hear you.
Sorry. Thank you. It's a lot going on, so I muted myself. Okay. So I heard everything. I watched the whole performance. I really don't feel like anything was said that was wrong, but I mean, like Brandy said, everybody got their own opinion on stuff. And
so do you remember, can you tell us, because we couldn't recall and I didn't want to misquote, that you know, the end where everybody's hyped up about, what did he say?
Well, all throughout the show he was getting people hyped and asking people to turn their lights on for certain particular certain little things in between each song, before the song, whatever, in between the song, the DJ was telling people to turn their lights on for certain things. And so there was a particular song, I can't really remember which song it was, because he performed a whole bunch of songs and had other artists come out. But there was a particular song that he wanted to introduce like that. And so he kind of like was like, hey, you know, put your lights on your phone if you've ever been, I hope I'm not saying it wrong, but something like that.
We can't hear you. Huh? If your finger or something might be blocking the microphone.
Oh,
there you go.
It is my finger. Okay. But it was something like along the lines of like, if you suck dick in the parking lot or something like that, or if you haven't sucked dick in the parking lot, put your lights up, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you know that you don't have AIDS, put your lights up. It was like stuff like that. So to me, it wasn't derogatory, because it's like, you know, all day I've been asking y'all to put your lights up for different little things. If you, like, mm-hmm. Literally, he said, women, if you out there and suck some dick, put your lights up. Like, he was okay. Asking people to do little things with the light. So for you to pinpoint that one little thing is kind of like, what?
Well, not to mention, like you said, he
got fans from all walks of life. And I feel like, I don't know if you guys seen the clip where he like addressed the whole situation, and he was saying like, you know, what happens at my live show is what happens at my live show. If you weren't there, you can't really speculate based upon a 5-minute clip, which is definitely true, because I just was talking to somebody also about the topic, and they were like, oh, all I saw was the clip.
Of course.
Well, all you saw was the clip. How could you have so much to say? All you saw was the little clip that somebody chose to show you. And my friend was like, well, that was at the beginning of the show. The show had just started, and that's where the clip was. And I was like, no, it was not.
I don't know if it matters.
The show did not start like that. The show ended. It was like towards the end of the show. It wasn't even the exact end of the show. It was somewhere mm-hmm. in the end of the show where he said that. So it was kind of like, no, you needed to be at my show. You needed to be at my show to feel how it felt, you know, to see what kind of people was there. And it wasn't like he was bashing anybody. I feel like he was being very educated in everything that he was doing. Like, there was moments in the crowd where somebody threw a shoe at him. And honestly, that was the bigger topic that came up first, was somebody throwing the shoe at him. And then it was about this whole homophobic thing. But somebody threw a shoe at him, and he didn't even trip. You know, you've seen people trip, like, jump out in the crowd and be ready to fight somebody. He was just like, who threw that shoe at me? You know, and was like, okay, that's a big-ass mosh pit. Okay, y'all having hella fun out there, okay. Saw somebody who was about to pass out, threw some water for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that you don't see, but nobody was talking about it. They want to talk about how he was being homophobic, or how he was being bad to the community, or whatever. And to me, it's always that one or two people who, like, stir up the whole cycle of some other stuff that make people feel like, oh, I can, ooh, that person said it, so I'm going to say it too. And then it becomes this whole community thing, wanting to ban people, or what do you call it? Cancel people and all this other weird stuff. And it's like, calm down. This whole new generation is hella new on like what they are putting out there to the world. And it's sad, because a lot of the things they're defining things as, it's not what it's defined as. You go look it up and it's totally something different. But they have put on the world, because so many of them young folks out there, they've put it out there on the world that this is what certain things are defined as. And it's really not. And it's to me, it's really messing up the culture of the world to me. Because I might say, this is yellow, and you're going to be like, no, it's canary. No, that's a whole different color, boo-boo. This is canary. You know, that there's a whole different color. Like, and they just want to give, like, certain things, like, a meaning that doesn't... I wish I had the example that I was trying to give, because it was one that I saw online under... It was a comment that someone had made underneath one of the posts about the baby. And I was like, wait, what? Since when did that mean that? Like, what? Yeah. Okay.
But that's why I said, I was like, I was a little bit confused initially because I didn't get the vibe that circulated. And then I go like, after that, like, you said whatever you said, and I did raise the eyebrow, like, what you talking about, baby? But, but I went to it seeing already, you know, people being like, oh, it was all this madness. I'm like, what's going on? And so I went to it. First part, I was like, I didn't see the problem. And then he kept talking. I was like, so I could have been somewhat swayed by already what everybody was talking about. But I still feel, I was just like, people have the right to feel offended if that's how you took it. But only he could say what he meant. And if he said what, you know, what you're saying, if he said, like, y'all didn't see the whole thing, it ain't this. I apologize if y'all got hurt. That wasn't my intent, blah, blah, blah. Like, if that's what it is, you can only take the man at his word. If you said that's what I was doing or what I was trying to do, then leave. I do feel like we are real quick to cancel people when we think they meant this when they said that or did that, and that's not all. Sometimes things are real blatant, and it is what it is, and sometimes it's kind of like, and we just take it too far, run with it, because maybe we were individually, like you said, one or two individuals felt some kind of way, and then just made it something that maybe it ain't.
Right.
Yeah, and you guys are right. That's the problem with today's culture, today's younger generation. It's like people get a kick at canceling people. You know what I mean? It's something to do. It's something to friend about. You know what I mean? Instead of, yeah, hearing both sides of the story or whatever, or if you weren't at the concert, then, you know what I mean, you know, what you're speaking on, because, yeah, you just saw a clip. Now, what about for the people that were at the concert? Was there anybody who's in the audience that had something to say about that, or was it just people watching the clip and then it starts surfacing and then now the baby's phobic?
I haven't seen anything where anyone said specifically that they were there and was offended. Yeah. But I mean, that could be one way that it started.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been one person that was offended at the show, or quite a few that was offended, and then showed people the clip, and then based upon their offendedness, gave up this whole little spiel. But the little people who watched the video weren't at the whole show, so they don't know the whole vibe. So,
yeah, it's going to be real hard moving forward in the entertainment industry, though. If, and I'm not saying this for any particular sector of people, but I'm just saying, like, if we start, you say, just canceling everybody every time somebody, what we gonna, not to be like, what we gonna watch, that sounds so irresponsible, but I don't know what other people are saying if we don't, a good response to shit is start making your own shit, right?
Right.
If I'm making a show and I'm talking shit you don't like, instead of trying to cancel my shit, make your own and talk your shit. How about that?
Yep.
Right, because if we keep on being like, oh, they said this, get rid of them. Oh, they did that, get rid of them. We're not going to have no music left. We're not going to have no art left, because it's always somebody, no matter what you're doing. And it's not even hating, but they might genuinely be offended for their own personal reasons. But if that continues to grow like wildfire, like things tend to do in cancel culture, then we're going to be canceling everything and we ain't going to have a culture to cancel no more. So right. We definitely need to slow our roll a little bit. And then just do it this way. I mean, you ain't got to cancel nobody. You personally was offended.
You're personally offended.
Don't listen to him. Don't dance to him. Don't download his music like everybody did with R. Kelly. And then a little time passing. Well, you know what? I just feel like I'm in the mood for a little R. Kelly. And I'm going to just throw it on one time. You know, because you wasn't really that offended in the first place. You just, everybody was talking that shit. So you did too. And then at home, though, you secretly dancing and listening to it. Lifestyle. Cut yep. out. Oh, like, let's stop in public saying all this stuff, and then half the people probably complaining still gonna be rocking his music. So I'm just like,
yeah, just,
if you don't like it, don't support it. You and then get on your page, get in your studio, write your song, talk your shit too. I don't want the world to always be at odds with each other, but everybody's gonna have people that like them, and everybody's gonna have people that hate you.
Right.
Part of life. It's always been that way. It's nice to be mindful of other people. But, and I don't want nobody getting up there shouting out, nigger, 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 fuck, bitch, nigger, oh, excuse my language. I hope they don't cut us on Instagram, but I don't want nobody saying all that kind of stuff. But I, for sure, if it was unexpected, I mean, I don't see everybody rallying against Doja Cat and all the bullshit she was doing. You understand what I'm saying? Yep.
I was just about to bring that up. Like how that kind of
stuff. They were talking about her.
And her too.
They talked about her a little bit and the shit came up, but it was more people kind of defending, oh, she's sick or oh, she has these issues. And then let her in. She, after even being blasted for the stuff she was doing, she was like, I don't give a fuck. It's my page. It's my life. I'm gonna keep doing what I want to do and I'm gonna keep making music and y'all just go keep buying it. And that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm like, whatever. I'm over it.
Yeah. No, I feel like certain people need to cancel. You know what I mean? But then certain people, like, say, yes, the baby who wasn't really addressing anyone in particular. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's easy to cancel him because he's a black man. You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay, we're done with you. But with Doja Cat, like, oh no, we'll give you another chance. Well, like you said, she was, you know, mental or whatever, but that was more offensive than what the baby
to was doing. To me, I mean, it's because I'm me. And if I was them, maybe it'd be different. But maybe that's just a good place for a conversation to be had instead of jumping on and canceling somebody. Instead of being like, oh, they are this, like you said, labeling them as homophobic and labeling. They may have said some things that were taken away. And maybe he did say it and it was that way. So set up a conversation with the people that were truly offended or whatever. I'm sure he'll end up on the Breakfast Club or something sometime soon and they'll talk about it.
Yep.
So, yeah. You know.
That's go-to now to try to straighten things out. Go to the Breakfast Club. Yeah. Well, y'all, I want to get into the next topic. You know what I'm saying? Simone Biles, she dropped out of the Olympics, huh?
She did. She did. I saw, I watched a clip of her interview today discussing it for mental health issues, all of that. I did not get to see the commentary of all the people hating on her because of her withdrawal, but I think that absolutely positively sucks that they, when this woman is out of her mouth clearly stating why she is doing what she's doing, we like, fuck all that. We don't give a fuck about your health. Get your ass on that balance beam, girl. Right. Get your ass on that mat and do what we need you to do for this gold medal that don't mean shit to the rest of us, but to watch on TV. I think that's awful. As Americans, that people claim to be so American and all this shit, but we care about a medal and shit that means absolutely nothing to our pockets, nothing to our home, nothing to us. Forget this woman's health. You know, she's telling you, like, look.
Yeah,
y'all still got a team over here. They still some bad chicks. Like it ain't over. I know y'all need me. Thank you. I know y'all want me. Thank you. But right. I need me. Okay. And so yeah, that's a trip. I wish her well. Strength, love, and power, girl. Do you come on back when you ready and bigger and better? And did you know? I didn't know that they decreased her scores intentionally. To stop the other people from attempting her moves. Did y'all read that and hear that?
What?
Oh, it wow.
It is officially known that they intentionally scored her lower on some of her, I don't know, I'm calling them moves. I don't know what you call them, but they scored her low because they're so athletic. They're so dangerous and difficult that many gymnasts would probably hurt themselves if they were to attempt to do them. So to discourage other Olympians from hurting themselves, they intentionally, and I'm like, how is this legal?
Well, I guess go Black Girl Magic.
Right. Is that intimidating?
Making up
that food? Intimidating to all these people, right. Because you got what you got. They literally, it's a known fact. And I'm like, jaw dropping.
You know they hate known Black girls who dominate white people's sports, period. From tennis, golf, gymnastics, shit, figure skating, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think, well, from some of the blogs I've been reading, it's, you know, actually a lot of different kind of people that have been hating on Simone Biles, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Oh, there goes Tootie. We're going to invite you in. But my thing, yes, for her, like, rest up, baby girl. You know what I mean? Like, if you are not feeling it, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this and practicing just to get to this point. You're not feeling it. You're not feeling it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It's just like calling in sick from work or whatever. Hey, I'm not feeling good. You know what I mean? What are you going to say? Oh, well, can you still come in, take your medication? No, I'm just not feeling this.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, Tootie, let me get you in here, sweetheart. There we go. Sent you a request, love. So, but people need to take that seriously. Mental health is very serious. I mean, look at Naomi Osaka, right? Same thing. She doesn't want to talk to the press anymore because it's just, you know, dealing with, you know.
I said that Michael Phelps even came out and spoke out in support of her because he was a big thing back in the day about, you know, wanting to commit suicide when he was going in his Olympic run, I think in 2016, and just the pressures that he was under. And they said that he had spoken to a lot of other Olympians at the time, and they all agreed, like, just the pressure that they put on themselves, the pressure that you have from the country on you to perform well, your coaches, people that's depending on you and all that kind of stuff. It just really becomes a lot on top of your outside life, whatever's going on in your relationships and stuff. And he was like, you know, for him, it had been so bad that, like he said, he wanted to commit suicide. And you got to take a step back. It's hard sometimes, but you have to take care of you first. Sometimes being selfish is a little necessary when it's about your health, right?
Right.
You're always, I don't know about everybody, but giving and trying to be in support of others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start feeling depleted, you can't function properly and normally, whatever that means to you, then yeah, you have to call off from work, whatever work is, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, so many people are disappointed in her. And then you have a lot of like us who are supportive of her, because we all know what it's like to deal with mental issues. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I was on a podcast recently. I think it was Crooner's podcast, and the whole discussion. No, it was Crispy Soul podcast, and we were discussing about mental illness. And you know, it's just something that people you can't just overlook this. It needs to be addressed. And who, you know, for Simone, she felt like the whole world was on shoulders. Everyone depended on her. And yeah, that set you up here. You know what I mean? Because it's like, damn, if I make a mistake, if I don't hit this flip correctly or whatever, America's going to be angry at me. They're going to hate me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wish her all the best. And like you said, I hope she'll be back next time.
Yeah, when she's ready.
Yeah, when she's ready. When she's ready. Do you think she'll be ready though? Or was this it?
I think it depends on what she finds after she's done going through whatever process she needs to go through to find her healing. If she's not done healing by the time it's time to train again and get back in, then she needs to do whatever she needs to do and take her time. She might realize, you know what, I don't even want to do this anymore. And that's totally fine.
Right. And I noticed on her page, like, she's totally in love with her dude. I mean, shoot, go ahead and start a family or something. You know what I mean? She's put in the work. She made America look good during the last Olympics. I think now. Yeah. What up, Tootie? I'm trying to invite you in. Tootie, I'm trying to, I keep sending you the invite, sis.
Yeah, it is weird sometimes. When you sent mine, it was like, what, not coming through.
Yeah, it's Instagram, you know. It's just Tootie, do another request, or maybe you should request to be in the video and I can add you in. She's like, I need to get in. We want you in on this. It says you're unjoined. Oh, you know what? Maybe is it because does she need to upgrade the phone or something like that? Upgrade the app?
Probably.
Yeah,
ooh, that could be it.
Or she should probably switch it to her business page. Her business page is probably automatically upgraded.
Yeah. Tootie, can you switch to your other page? I'm not letting you join. But so it is Simone, she's still out there though, right? like supporting all her teammates?
I don't know. I can't even speak to that. I was, you know, everybody asking her all the questions, her, you know, just explaining and stuff. But I haven't even been watching the Olympics. I only know what happened because I've been just hearing different things, just being online. And then my cousin made a post about it, and it was pretty interesting. I said, let me do some more research about what's happening before I weigh in with some random ass opinion. And so I, you know, people do that. They just be like, what? So I was like, let me go and see what's really happening. And I did a little digging, read a couple of little short articles, skimmed them, and then watched the video. Hello.
Hi, ladies. Hey, what's going on? Hey, Diane.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome, my girl. We were talking about now the Olympics, the mental health. What's your take on that?
You know what? I think it's okay to say no. You know what I'm saying? At whatever given time that there was a situation going on too. I don't know if you guys are talking about that situation with that other man. There was an actual situation going on too. But when you just tired, you just tired. And if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. In a way that the propaganda is set up and media and all of that. She probably just didn't want to deal with it. That's what I feel like, honestly. She probably just didn't want to deal with it, and it was like too much. If you want to go in my room though and look at my wall, I got a couple of these gold things, so I don't really necessarily need to play with y'all right now. You feel what I'm saying? Like, maybe I thought I did, but second guessing, I don't. And I think that it's honestly okay to say no. If you don't want to play, you don't have play. Like, right. It's an option to play. It's not, you know, you don't have to play if you don't want to. So if you don't want to play, then baby, you don't gotta play.
Yep.
I mean, like, well, you know, like you guys are saying, mental health is a big issue right now. But I honestly, based on from what I think I know in that situation that's going on with her feeling uncomfortable with that man around, then I think that has a lot to do with it too. You know what I'm saying? Not just mental health, it's just with that man. You know what I'm saying, present, and she had already brought that information about him being whatever that he was, the Me Too movement, all of that, then she was just like, I don't, you know, nobody did nothing about it, he's still here, so
I don't want to.
Since we choosing, then let's choose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What's the story on that? I didn't hear about that. What was it?
I heard something about like a coach's assistant or something like that was being, you know, trying to be sexual with her or had sexual relations with her or tried to whatever, something about a sexual relation.
The last I heard, he had been arrested. So I don't know if it's the same person or not, but her team coach, her young women were sexually abused for a number of years, you know, which is not uncommon, unfortunately, in this sport.
Right.
And I guess it's just, I don't, a lot of people were referencing that, so I don't know if she said that directly, but she just did.
No, I don't think she said that directly. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I feel like Simone is a really private person, and whatever is going on with her is whatever is going on with her, but I think, you know what I'm saying? Because but you said he got arrested, but I heard that he was still there. He was still a part of the team. Okay.
I haven't been watching the Olympics, honestly. The clip that I watched, at the oldest, it might have been 3 days ago. I don't know.
Okay.
The View, and they were discussing the topic. And one of the ladies, she's the one who said he was arrested. But I don't know if he's been out or what the update is.
Right. I mean, that could be a lot of it, too. Just like I said, media. You know what I'm saying? And how journalists or whatever, they'll get off the topic real quick. You know what I'm saying? She probably just didn't want none of that heat. She didn't want none of that smoke. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, you know? And I don't have to play if I don't want to.
Olympics will do her thing. She won't be questioned about all of that and all of this. Like, I'm gonna do my job.
Can you do my move? Can you do my move? can you do the other one? Oh, okay. Because I got moves, baby. I don't have to play with y'all. I got moves. Right. I don't have to play with y'all. Since y'all want to play, I don't want to play. So that's cool, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine. I commend, baby. I love Simone. Like, sit down if you want to, baby. You can retire if you want to me, because I know your wall is full of gold things. You feel what I'm saying? It's not like you ain't never been here, done that before. You have been here, done that before. You got moves behind you, baby. You got moves with your names on it. Like, you're creating things in the sport. So, you do what you want to do, goddess. Like, if you don't want to play, then don't play. You feel me? Like, do what you want to do.
Right. Deal with the headache or none of that. The pressure.
You don't have to.
Nope.
You don't have to if you don't want to. Mm. You don't have to if you don't want to.
All right, y'all. So,
would y'all talk? I was doing hair, my bad, because I be working so much all the time. I don't know how to just say no.
Look, we know that's the reason.
Yes.
I'll be doing my thing. So I don't know if y'all talked about the baby. Did y'all talk about the baby already?
We did, but you'll address it.
What how y'all think about it? What y'all think about it?
Well, cancel culture is running rampant. The people that are offended, I personally said, it's better to start having a conversation with people that you feel are misinformed than just running straight to canceling. When I first heard the situation when he was talking about AIDS, I personally didn't take offense to it because that's not how I heard it. I didn't hear him saying that y'all out here gay, or have AIDS. I heard it is like, if you out here and you know you got something, don't be sleeping around with people out here like that. That's how I heard that. Then the follow-up commentary he made, I said, I don't really get all that. I was just like, what you talking about? I don't know what's happening right now. So there was that dude talking about sucking dick in the parking lot and suspect people and stuff. And I was like, where is this coming from? And Diamond mentioned she'll talk more to this, but she was like, if you didn't see the whole thing, you know, they be taking little clips out of context when you don't know how to I didn't see nothing else but the clip that's circulating and kind of pushing everybody towards leaning one side, but that's pretty much what I said.
Okay. I feel it. I agree with what you said. I mean, like, Kelly, you know, because we're entertainers, so like, when you're on stage, like, you kind of say whatever you kind of like in that moment. You're kind of like kind of not thinking. You're kind of freestyling and you're engaging with your audience. Like, you feel comfortable enough to say whatever you want to say because you're engaging with your audience and you feel like your audience or your fans, they know you. It is what it is. They know your personality. And if they don't, they're going to get it right now. Like, you feel what I'm saying? So, like, you say things to engage with your audience. You say things to, you know, pass over time or whatever. So, like you said, like, I feel like he was just talking to be talking. He wasn't saying anything to harm anybody. He wasn't saying anything to offend anybody. As a gay person, like, these label things, people take it, like, way, way too far. It's like, it's just, like, way too hardcore with it, with the labels or whatever. They're allowing themselves to be defined by these pronouns and these labels and all this other stuff or whatever. But like you said, I mean, I didn't take offense. It's not, I don't have AIDS or nothing like that. But, like, I didn't feel like he said it in an offensive way, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't have an attitude about it or whatever. He was just kind of saying to be saying and kind of saying it just like he was saying. And like, don't be running around here just doing whatever you think you need to be doing because it's not right. Don't be running around here spreading diseases because we don't need to be spreading diseases. And then again, like I said, like, as far as sexuality is concerned, if we're basing everything and we're going towards what is being projected on this, then it is what it is. And just because you project things onto people doesn't mean that they necessarily have to accept them things. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and so people feel like, because they feel like whatever they feel like to project it on the world is okay. But a lot of people are still not accepting of whatever they're not accepting to. And just, like, you know what I'm saying? You can't just be doing stuff like that. And so, like, it's still the same thing with freedom of speech. Like, if you have something to say, you got something to say. If I can look at you and you doing whatever you want to do, then you should be able to listen to me and I say whatever I want to say. And should nobody have nothing to say about nothing, we should all just be accepting what we should be accepting. Period.
Yeah, yeah. And like you guys said, they're just so quick to cancel him. And like I said, it's easy because it's easy. Black man, he's a rapper, you know what I mean? So it's just like, oh, you know, the hell with that nigga.
Them canceling concerts, canceling on his fashion or whatever, his gay fans are still going to, they're still supporting him right now. His gay fans are still on his side as far as whatever that the media is projecting him as being right now, which is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
And you know what?
It's ridiculous.
I agree with what you're saying too. Like, as entertainers, when you're doing a concert or whatever, and your fans are watching you, it's like you want to cater to your fans, right? You could go to any show. Like, you go to an Eminem show, and he might just be like, he might say something, you know what I mean?
Right.
His fans, and people know what they're getting into when they go.
Right.
Even back in the day, whatever, Michael Jackson grabbing his crotch, he feels comfortable doing
right.
it. Those y'all right. see that. Or art, right. art putting shit on stage, you know what I mean?
Right.
Come here to see. So when
right.
people, now for me personally, I probably wouldn't have said anything like that just because the media blows things out of proportion. But
you got a slick mouth, sis. Like, I've been in, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen, when you got a slick mouth, you just kind of got a slick mouth. And if that's the kind of person you are, that's the kind of person you are. That doesn't necessarily mean you mean somebody harm. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we've been in, you know what I'm saying, the conversation, and you just got a slick mouth. I just felt like he was just passing time, just saying whatever he needed to say and set up for the next song or whatever. Because, you know, you have that time in between. He was just talking to be talking. Like,
right. Yeah.
I just think it is crazy how now we have, you know what I'm saying, this social media thing, and people take everything that you say out of context. Like, and the way he apologized and how he apologized, how many times a man got to say sorry, and how many ways he had to say sorry, and how many, you know what I'm saying, ways that he had to try to explain himself that he wasn't trying to be offensive. And he wasn't. You could tell in his demeanor, he wasn't trying to be offensive. He was just talking to be talking. So, like, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
We all have to be careful about what we say, what we do, because
right,
put the right talk. Like, damn.
Right. Which makes no sense, because it's taking the joy out of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It's taking the joy out of it. Like.
Yeah.
As a rapper, you can't even say what you want to say no more. Not on a live mic, but you can say that in a song. Because he could have said that in a song, and it would have been perceived as something way different. Everybody would have been repeating the song, doing this, repeating the song. In the parking lot, something did, with the, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. And it's funny. That's why artists have managers and PR people to tell them what to do and what not to do. Well, I guess.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
All right, y'all. So I want to move into the next topic here. Wiz Khalifa tweeted that he wears bonnets now to protect his locks when he goes to sleep. And he gave
a shout out to my brother. Know your girl got satin bonnets, Wiz, right now. You need one? Holla at your girl. You see that? It's Julia B. Leah. That's how we get down. Yeah, I'm a believer in that. I do hair. I do natural hair. I don't care what you wrap your hair with. It could be a bonnet. It could be a t-shirt. It could be some draws. I don't care what you wrap your hair with. You understand me? But I want you to wrap it up, okay? Wrap it up. And a lot of people with locks, natural hair, don't, you know, that cotton sucks a lot of your oils and your hair up. You'd be dry, looking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that part. So it's good to actually wrap your hair and keep your hair wrapped, especially when you sleep at night. It keeps your hair fresh, keeps your moisture in your hair. You know what I'm saying? It's good for you. It's not a feminine thing. It's a hair care thing.
Yeah. No, totally. And you know, it's crazy. Monique made a statement not too long ago saying that Black women should not be bonnets in public, and that it looks kind of like raggedy and tacky, something like that. What do you guys think about that?
I think that she just can't wear bonnets in public because she looks old and nauseous.
I'm not against.
I love Monique from the park.
I think bonnets is better than draws. And I think, you know what I'm saying, especially as Black women, we care for our hair, and we keep our hair wrapped until it's time to do whatever we need to do. And so I guess, you know what I'm saying, half of me is like scarf it, because of bonded, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's protective overnight or whatever. So half of me is like, at least scarf it, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to wearing a bonnet in public. But if that's all you got and that's what you're doing to keep your hair fresh, then do what you got to do to keep your hair fresh.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it is. We're not going to be laying around on a plane. We're not going to be laying around on the couch with my hair free. No, I'm going to have my hair wrapped. I'm going to keep it fresh because that's what happens.
Do you consider it being lazy when we do go out in public with bonnets on and stuff? Because that's pretty much...
No, I don't consider it lazy. But if your hair is done, your hair is done. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, if you're doing something, if you're not, you know, I guess you're going to the grocery store. For me, maybe just because a scarf, you actually look like a something with a scarf as a just a bonnet, like on your head. It just looks like a shower cap or a bonnet. It just looks like something with a scarf. So, but that's just me, my own personal insight. Like, I don't mind either or, but I would think myself, I probably wouldn't go out with my bonnet. I probably would wrap my hair with a scarf to make it kind of look like something. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's different. So if you don't feel like scarfing your hair.
They was complaining when before bonnets were really as large as they are now, they were still complaining when we was in the store
about scarves.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you can't win for losing. It don't really matter.
You can't win for losing. That's right. Kind of like, you got to keep your hair fresh.
I think with Monique, she was talking about the girls. They were in the airport and somebody said it was like 6:00 in the morning. It was like 6:00 in the morning. That's
your right.
Sleeping hours for a lot of people.
That's their sleeping hours.
Depending on where they're going, they might have been on a long flight. Where you
period.
Mess up the back of your head.
Period. That's what I'm saying. We're not getting ready to mess up my hair. I'm not doing that.
You know what I'm saying? So right. I feel like, it's first of all, mind your business, right?
Right.
But second, we don't know the circumstances of the situation where people want to be putting people on blast online, talking shit about how you look. I get, as Black people, we don't want to add to the drama that we already have. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, you don't know what we're going through. You don't know our struggle. Unless somebody, not Black, start wearing bonnets and calling it something else.
Don't do it. Don't do that.
Runway in Paris.
Don't do that. I don't want to have to get at nobody's Kim Kardashian about calling my bonnet something that they ain't right now.
But this is going to be okay. That they did with pajamas.
When
we were walking around in our pajamas and they was talking about the same thing like you're doing your bonnets, then it started coming up in a magazine and they were calling pajamas loungewear is the new everyday look. It's already circulating through the fashion magazines as it being okay as more others started walking around in their pajamas. And they weren't pajamas, they were loungewear.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, it's like, and we get on our own people, oh, we out here looking raggedy, but then as soon as it's acceptable, then it's just, forget about it, it's okay now. But so that's why I'm like, do what you
other people
do for your hair care, right? This is what this is about. If you really like run around in a bonnet because your hair is not done and you just need to take care of yourself, yes, please, go get your hair done, get a brush, get a stylist, do what you need to do.
Come on, sis.
You need to be presentable. But if I'm a busy mom, or maybe I'm not a mom, maybe I'm just a busy business person, I got a lot of stuff going on and I need to make a run to the store for some milk real quick, I'm not about to do all this extra when the store is two shakes away from my door. I'm a hop in, do what I need to do, I'm minding my business, and I'm on my way. Now, if you care that much to pull out your phone and follow me around, it didn't feel how you feel. Somebody said, and it was a meme, it was just like, what other people think about you is not your business, right? Not until it's in your pockets or your ability to live.
Right.
So it starts intruding on what you got going on, then it matters. Then you can speak on it. But at the end of the day, like we said earlier, somebody always gonna have something to say about, well, you too pretty to be dressed down like that, or you too pretty to look like that, or you not pretty enough. You need to do this. Why your eyebrows so thick? Why they so dark?
Right.
You ain't got no lipstick.
Right. Alone.
You don't know what I'm going through today.
I'm
just busy. Or I could be having going through the midst of a horrible depression, and now you got me on social media with everybody talking even more shit about me. And they don't even know my circumstances. My husband could have just died. My daddy could have just died.
It's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Business people.
It's a lot.
Are you going into like gas station or whatever, or whatever, And I be seeing motherfuckers roll up in there with robes and houses. Cause it's like, okay, I'm going up to get some. You know what I mean? But yeah, but they want to criticize us for wearing bonnets in public, but watch, you'll start seeing more other people wearing bonnets and now it's totally cool. Now it's
funny as hell.
Kardashian is wearing a bonnet.
Oh, you already know. Hey.
That's what I'm saying. That's what she was saying. Like, as soon as somebody else does it, yeah. then, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Then it's of the norm. Like,
yeah, yeah. What about
guys? That's a story.
Do you guys agree with
story that? Of our life.
What'd you say?
Do you agree with men wearing bonnets? Like, is it cool for guys to wear bonnets?
I don't care. It'll be, I can lie. If somebody outside, man or woman, looking crazy to me, I'm gonna laugh. I'm not about to okay. care. I don't care though. You know what I'm saying? I'm not finna start rampaging about what somebody else is doing. If I see a dude right. outside, because we don't typically see men with bonnets, it's gonna stand out. It just is.
Right.
Looking at right. It looks funny. Right. I'm gonna think it's funny, but it'll be like, oh, if I see, you know, I can tell he got like, I'm like, oh, he hella smart. He ain't about to let that mess up his hair. And I'm gonna be like, okay. And then keep it moving.
Wait.
I mean, I've seen a lot of guys with lock bonnets. You know, they have those lock bonnets.
I've seen them wrapped up and stuff with scarfage.
Or wraps or scarves or whatever. Yeah, so to me, it's like the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if a bonnet just holds its own weight or whatever. Like, to me, it's just another protective thing that you put over your hair. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. That's just, it just looks like a shower cap made out of satin. You know what I'm saying? Like, as opposed to, like, you know what I'm saying, scarfing your hair or whatever. So, like, I mean, I'm biased about it. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I do hair. So I want you to protect your hair. I want you to protect my work right now. I don't want you, not that I don't want to keep seeing you, but I don't kind of want to keep seeing you like that. You know what I'm saying? I want you to take care of your stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't have to kind of like keep seeing you like that. You know what I mean? Like, at least make your hairstyle last for what it's worth. You feel what I'm saying? Because otherwise, you're going to be coming to me and give me all your money and I'm going to take it.
I'm gonna take it.
I'm gonna talk about you every time too. I told you to put them drawers on your head. I told you to wrap your head.
No excuses.
You got everything. You got t-shirts. You got a toe-up t-shirt. Tear your t-shirt. Wrap your t-shirt. Draws. Anything. Make it work.
Make it work.
So I think Wiz is actually smart as far as, you know, hair care is concerned. I'm sure he gets his hair done often, and you know, that's gonna help him, his hair last longer, keep the moisture in his hair and everything.
Yeah.
Who's gonna see a difference between him not actually wearing a bonnet and him actually wearing a bonnet? He's gonna be able to see that difference.
Yeah. A hairstyle.
Yeah, locks is a little different too. Locks are, you know what I'm saying, you have to kind of really extra kind of care for locks. They're dry. You have to moisturize them more, so it makes sense to tie them down, you know, so you can keep moisture in your hair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
And y'all the hair care experts here, all three of y'all.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's talk, honey.
Shit. All right, so I want to get into my next topic here, y'all. So, I was reading Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher said they only wash parts of their body when they take a shower, just the genital area and face. I mean, don't get me wrong, that is the most important part to wash on your body, but don't you still collect dirt from head to toe on your body?
I don't understand why people are the way.
Well, yeah. I read the article. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I read the article.
That's all I gotta say about that. They do weird stuff.
And
I don't understand why
they only take showers, meaning fully wash themselves every blue moon. And they have this rule of if you see the dirt, it's when you clean it.
And didn't she say she washed her baby with only soap? She didn't want to use a washcloth or something? Did she say that too?
A lot of people never heard of a washcloth before,
and that shocked the hell out of me.
Because the soap, something with the natural body, which is true. That's true. But you need soap to clean off the germs. Maybe you should go buy natural soap. There's a thing. That is a thing.
There's natural soap. Yeah. There's natural soap. I think all parts are important, especially like over time. So if you're just taking a shower and you don't never like wash your ears, or if you don't never like
get your neck
wash under your boobs, you know,
yeah.
Or the back of your knees, or the bottom of your feet.
In between,
then eventually over time, those things will gain a little dirt, and we're gonna see a little buildup over time. That's, you know what I mean, but. I don't know. Maybe they don't believe that they grow dirt in those places, and then it's not dirty. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's just so disgusting, because also, too, considering COVID is going around, and you know what I mean? They're around a lot.
I see a lot of crusty feet. I'm telling you, people don't be taking care of their feet. I don't know if everybody don't be washing their feet, but.
Oh,
we've seen a lot of crustacean going on. I work in a grocery store. I see people in the morning. I see people at night. I see people in robes. I see people in their business clothes. I see people when they just chilling at home. I see it all, okay? I see it when you take your little shoes off and you come to the store. Yes, crustacean.
Oh, Lord.
I see it. When you take your hair off, yeah. I see it all. But most people don't care. You know, it's just a grocery store, but most people don't really care. They don't really.
Yeah.
It's a certain amount of people who really care about their hygiene, for real. I promise you that. And I'm so glad the CDC said to wash your hands, because like I said, I work in the grocery store. People have been nasty. Yep. And they're still nasty.
Yep.
People have been nasty before the CDC said, wash your hands. I was so happy. You guys don't even understand. I was so happy when the CDC said, people wash your hands. They said it so much, people start acting like they was washing their hands on a regular. You want to come wipe down my register and stuff. But you wasn't doing that, though, with your nasty self. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, my God. What's some of the nastiest things working in the grocery store? Like, you know, with people not.
I've seen people pick their nose, and then you know take the groceries out the cart. People don't really, like I said, it's only a certain amount of people who really care about their hygiene. I've smelled a lot of people.
You said I smelled a lot of people.
People aren't very, you know, you just go, I'm going to the store right quick. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you come home from the gym, I'm going to the store right quick. Or you just wake up in the morning, I'm going to the store right quick. That kind of thing. Like, you know, you need to take a bath.
Right, right.
Or you come to the store right quick.
Watch your ass.
A little bit. Just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
I know some people that, like how you guys were saying before, I know some people that don't use soap at all. They said the body is supposed to just have water, just natural water, and no soap, no chemicals, and you're not supposed to dump down their chemicals.
Definitely not chemicals.
Well, certain kinds of soaps, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all I have to say, y'all, wash your ass. I mean, just don't
wait. Not even your just hands the too. Soap, but it's the towel thing. Yeah. I feel like you need a towel.
Yeah, the towel thing was weird. Yeah, like that was kind of weird.
I mean,
yeah.
Even the loofah is not even that good. But I mean, if you got to use it. But a towel, you need a towel. You got to be able to.
You need something to help it, huh?
You know, yeah. Scrub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I just don't see this helping.
Right. Right.
If you're not using soap.
Right. Over time, it builds up. I'm just saying. I think over time, it's somewhere. Somehow. It's like, and we're grown to. Right. We're adults. Yeah. People do it. People do it.
I mean, baby soda, I guess. Peroxide, I say. But, I mean, you shouldn't.
That's something, though. You know what I mean? Not just water standing here in the shower letting the water clean you.
Has anybody ever tried that?
Tried what?
If you guys tried that online, I want you guys to comment below. If you ever just tried getting in the shower with no soap, no towel. and if you got clean. Because I know when you came out that shower, you rubbed yourself with that clean towel to dry off. It was some little dirt.
They probably don't do that. And I'm
sure that told you to get back in the shower.
Anyway. Yeah, no. So I don't know about those people. We're going to pray for those people. I'm afraid they don't get a bacteria, no salmonella in between their booty cheeks and none of that.
Not salmonella.
We gonna pray. We gonna pray.
Oh, that's mercy. Oh my God. We. So Tootie, while we have you here too, we want to talk a little bit more about your practice, what you're going on, what you do. I know you got the eyelash wear. Will it be eyelash wear? Is that the correct name?
Lash wear.
Yes, yes. Can you show some little lashes, sweetheart?
Yeah, I got you.
Ooh,
that girl, that picture.
And that's her on the cover.
Those things are the soul of makeup. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about this book. Ooh, wow.
Let's talk about the cover.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Let's do that. How about we do that? You got a glue pen and you got tweezers.
Nice.
That's smart.
Variety. We want variety. We like variety. You know what I'm saying? A little variety. I got that. I added books to my my products, and I have bonnets. Now these are the cotton ones and they're all African printed. And then I have black satin ones with my logo on it.
Ooh.
Are the cotton ones satin lined or are they cotton all the way through?
They're satin lined. Mm-hmm. So I'm just adding stuff, you know, trying to expand my product. I just, you know, I've always been a makeup artist and I just decided to add a product to my service so that I have something to hold on to besides just the service itself. Mm-hmm. And it's growing. I love it. People love them. I got a lot of, you know, people who love it. And I had a dope little setup, but like I said, I was doing here and old girl was like, I need lashes. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, I only brought something for my little setup, but girl, you can have them, girl. You can take anything you need, right? Okay? It's most from where that came from. So, you know, that's just where I'm at right now. Trying to expand and grow. It's been 2 years and it's, I've been blessed for these 2 years and, you know, I keep on getting get backs or whatever. And I always sell out and people are really, really supportive. I love my peoples. They really, really support me. And I just felt like it was time to, you know, expand and come up with something different. And that was it. You know, I'm always doing something, girl.
Yes, you. Oh, man. Look, I've known Thomas years. Like,
God, don't go back there. We ain't that old.
Right. We ain't that old. But sick. She was performing. I remember she used to spit freestyles. Oh my God. So Tootie, what made you like take a break on the music to move over to, you know, selling merchandise and so forth? Well, what made the switch?
It's been a lot of shenanigans in music in the industry. So when I first started doing music or whatever, it was real fun. It wasn't a lot of politics involved. Once you get a little deeper in it and you start to get, you know, a little further into the rabbit hole, it's a lot of politics and a lot of just like weird stuff that you kind of have to deal with. And I just didn't feel like dealing with that anymore. I just didn't, you know, I became unmotivated. It became unfun. It became more of a hassle than, you know, a job. You know, your job should be fun in what you do. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's just basically what it was. Like it came to a point where I just kind of wanted to just, you know, be a free spirit and do a music. And it was like so much other things compounding that. Like I couldn't even go to the studio with my homeboy trying to get at me. And I just want to do music. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that stigma, the sexual stigma to it. You know what I'm saying? And I want to say that at the time I really started getting into music, Nicki had broke out on the scene, which made the industry, again, based on like Kim did it, sex, booty out, titties out, sex. I'm a conscious person already. I was never like that. So I wasn't getting ready to, you know what I'm saying, flip the script for the industry to be something that I wasn't. And I already knew that because I was a conscious person, people weren't going to accept, they weren't going to accept that. You know what I'm saying? Only a few people, you know what I'm saying? Only a few people were going to accept that and, you know what I'm saying, and rock with it. But even then, those people still like a negative low vibration. I didn't want to ride on no negative low vibration. And that's what a lot of music is today. It's just a lot of negative low vibration and people aren't even really paying attention to what they're rocking to. It's a lot of negative low vibration. And I just didn't want to vibe to it no more. It became unfun. And so I always did hair. I always did makeup. I always was behind scene. Even when I was doing music, I was always behind scene. So it was nothing to just close one gate. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still in it. You know what I mean? As long as I'm still in it, I'm good. So I'm still in it. I'm just not going to conform to people. And then I don't want to not be accepted because people don't want to listen to the truth. Like, yeah. That is so frustrating that people would just don't want to listen to the truth. You would rather accept something that is just false and just to rock to it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to listen to it, absorb it, accept it. You know what I'm saying? It just didn't make any sense. And it just became unfun and just like really kind of unattractive. Mm-hmm. Just kind of unattractive. Like when you have people following a certain pattern, like it just becomes unattractive. It almost is like, I'm not even that kind of woman. I'm not even that kind of woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, so based on that, and I just didn't want to just, it just became unattractive. Yeah. So I just stopped because the music industry can really drag you somewhere that you don't really want to be and can keep you there for longer than you need to expect to be. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be drugged into that. And I felt like that was the way that it was pulling me to go. And I just didn't want to go that way.
Were you not ever, I don't know where you were initially, but did you ever consider like moving forward just as an independent artist and then just doing like small venues and intimate things for people that you know have a true connection to your art and then just do it that way instead of maybe on a larger scale?
No, in a way, in a certain way, because that's how we was coming up, like in the Chitlin' Circuit. That's kind of how it was back in the day. Shows were very intimate. They were small, they were intimate or whatever. But no, I never thought about just like kind of doing my independent thing and going out and kind of doing it like that. I feed from other artists. So like, that was kind of like the thrill for me, was kind of like doing it with people who I know we were on the same level and we were feeding off each other. And to me, that was a bigger scale of being fed. You know what I mean? You're feeding off of me, you're feeding off of her, you're feeding off of her. We're all together. That's like a big chunk. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to just me, I'm just a little bite. You know what I mean? And I'm like that anyway. I'm a team player. So I the independent thing, music-wise, I didn't come in like that, so I didn't see myself like that. You know what I mean? I came in as a part of a group. I was my own independent person, but it was still like a group thing.
Yeah.
And then when I broke off to be my independent person, I ended up being in a group. It was a two-man group. And then, you know, we rocked like that, and that was a really good energy. And then just after a while, I had even invited other female artists on, you know what I mean? And then that was just a lot of energy that is a lot of us couldn't really deal with at a time, you know what I mean? It was like 8 of us at one time, and that was a lot of energy, you know what I mean? People were accepting it, but it was a lot of energy, you know what I'm saying? And women, we hold a lot of energy. So like, just to be in that type of female energy like that, where not everybody was on the same page, and just dealing with a lot of the energy that was being brought back to us, because it was really positive. It was really good. It was really good. It was called Valley Girl Music. We was like doing shows. We were all independent artists. We were doing shows together as a group, you know, and at the time it was really good, but it only lasted so long because it was so much energy that nobody knew what to deal with it. You know what I mean? And it was pulling people in different directions. And that was unattractive. You know what I mean? So I came to a point where I was like, I'm going to rock with this. When I first got in, I'm going to rock with this group. Oh, these my people's like this. Oh, then I had to break off with these people. Now just with this person. And then we was rocking like this. And then maybe I need something new. So because of the way that it was like the men thing, because it's real male dominated. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do all girls. We're going to rock. I mean, all girl producers, all girl rappers. We're just going to rock. We're just going to be feminists. That is a lot of energy. You know what I mean? So just trying to be in something like that, that was a lot of energy. And over time, because of the way the barrels were turning, it just became unattractive. It became more work than fun. And like the reception I was getting back from it wasn't too positive. So it just kind of made me like, well, I'm already doing what I'm doing anyway. I already got a background. So I'm gonna spin off and just, you know, continue doing what I'm doing. And then, you know, a couple years later, not too many years later, I fell in line with Sugar T and started doing her makeup or whatever. So it all worked out in the end for me. But the music itself, that industry, I mean, like, you really have to be able to create a lane. You know what I'm saying? You have to be stern in your ways and really be able to create a lane that people are going to accept you for, or they're just not. It's either they are or they're just not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's so true.
I think that's what the struggle is with a lot of artists. I think that Megan Thee Stallion is too educated to just be promoting herself and projecting sex. I think that she has a platform to really to bring young women in on a positive note. We don't all have to be shaking our butts. We don't all have to be making money for cat. You know, we don't all have to be doing all of that. We don't all have to be bitches. We don't all have to be hoes. We don't all, her platform is too huge and wide. You know what I mean? And she's too educated. Like, you can change the narrative. It's nothing to change the narrative. Lauryn Hill's one album is still popping 25 years later. You just have to change the narrative. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and I think that once you, like I said, once you get accepted for some way, it's going to be hard for, if she wanted to change the narrative, it will be hard for her to change the narrative because of the way society has already accepted her for what she projected onto them. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the way that I was doing it, and then, you know, consciously, you start consciously changing, and then, you know, you see things for what they really are. And I knew that what I wanted to say, then nobody wanted to hear what I wanted to say, because I wasn't about to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. Damn. It's, and like you said, today, you know, the music game has changed, and you know, the game's overpopulated with female rappers.
It's overpopulated now, right? 10 years later, is it crazy? I remember when it was nothing. It was us. It was nobody.
Exactly, and people,
yes,
being to work with female rappers because they're just like, we just don't know how to market you. You know what I mean? But right, when Nicki came on, that actually sparked a lot of interest. And then a whole bunch of female rappers started coming. But, you know, I think just in general, yeah, you're right. Heritage message to represent the Black Queen. You know what I mean?
Just change the narrative. It can still be party music. Just change the narrative. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What about male rappers, though? Like, don't they kind of, I mean, you know, the newer rappers today. What about them? Are they sending out positive messages to young Black men, or is it kind of just similar to female rap where it's just like, you know, pretty man. It's out. First of all, what you talking about, right? You talking about mainstream music?
Yeah.
You know that. There's music out there. There's good music out there.
Yeah, it is.
Just have to be the type of person that's following it, supporting it.
Right.
It exists. It's out there.
Right.
Talk about the masses and what's out there. Of course, that's not what's popping.
Right.
So it's available. It's definitely there.
It is.
It don't get the push, like she said. It don't get the push as the popular music does, because y'all could probably, all three y'all speak more to it than I can, but you know who's in charge of the industry. Now, nobody's in charge of your mouth and your pen, right? So you can do
what
you
want,
which is why I kind of brought up the whole independent thing. But yeah, when you need that big machine behind you. They don't want to hear that. They're not trying to put millions and millions of dollars behind what's going on. Push and promote Black people in positivity, unless the little bit that's out there is gonna put that much money in their pocket because they hit some little market. And but overall, that's not it. So you know who's in charge. You call them your gatekeepers, you whatever you want to call them. I don't care. Right. They gonna keep on promoting the people that's take this lean, shoot this coke, whatever, blah blah blah. I know you don't shoot coke, but you know what I'm saying.
Like do what it's told, do what you're told,
and we're gonna keep putting money behind that machine because that's beneficial to their agenda, right? So yes, it's out there, but that's not what was being
ingested. You know, that's not, you know, that's not what we really, at the end of the day, really be wanting to ingest. Like Kanye said it best when he said that, you know, he changed his narrative because he found out what the frequency that what he was producing, and what he was producing was low vibrational frequency. You know what I'm saying? The 808 is a low vibrational frequency. When you feel it, when you hear it, you want your pelvis to move. You feel it down there, as a like, as opposed to like when you hear church music, you hear it from up here. Like the frequency is different. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Those things, when you start to really become conscious about what you're really doing, and like I said, music is fun at first. It's like fun. You just rapping, you rhyming words over a beat or whatever. And if you're not really conscious of what you're saying, you're just kind of saying fun words and you're rhyming them and stuff like that. But as time gets on and you figure out that you actually have something to say and people are listening, if you really want to change your narrative, you start becoming conscious about what you're saying. And like you really want, you know what I'm saying, you really want to make an impression on people about what you're saying and why you're saying it. And, you know, and that kind of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just became more than just shake my ass, get some cash. You know what I mean? It just became more for that. More than that to me at the end of the day. Like, I felt like I wanted what I was saying to have a, like a positive impact on somebody and like possibly make a difference, possibly make you think, possibly, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to just dance to it right quick. At least you thinking about it at the same time while you dance to it. Like, I feel like a lot of rappers these days, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Mumble rap, well, you don't even know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of just doesn't matter. And until, like, somebody conscious makes a platform to, like, really kind of change the narrative, until we, you know, make a stance on changing the narrative. If they're calling us bitches, if we don't want to be called bitches, then we need to say that and stop calling each other bitches or whatever may have you. You know what I'm saying? Like, the narrative just kind of has to change behind them, like, what's going on? Like it comes in time, or, like, now we kind of don't want to be called bitches no more. We kind of want to be called queens or whatever. Like, so we kind of, like, have to change the narrative somewhere, and you know, get down people who are changing, you know, who want to change the narrative. Otherwise, like she said, the masses is the masses, and what's on the radio is what's on the radio. It's mainstream is mainstream.
Also, too, the thing is, you know, as artists, if you're really true to your craft, you want longevity. You know what I mean? You don't want that, just that one booty song.
People love you. You want to be able to evolve from that. Yeah.
Oh, most definitely. Well, y'all, I'm gonna wrap it up. Sorry to keep y'all on for so long, but y'all had some good shit. Y'all talking good. Okay. any last words you want to say to promote eyelashes, promote your line, your brand?
Hold on, I'm about to put them on right quick. Let me put these on right quick. Give me like 60 seconds. I'm going to show you how to put them on right quick. I'm going to show you how to put them on. Get at your girl, Julia B. Lashwear. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. You get at your girl. It's nothing.
And what kind of lashes are these?
These lashes are the, I think it's the 50s or the 44s. They're like medium thicks. I probably, because I'm putting them on right now, I probably would just end up wearing them like an everyday thing, just because that's how I get down. But I only wear like super big babies.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Nice. When I do like a full face of makeup. Otherwise, like, my everyday wear be like some regular little baby lashes. They're not all crazy. So the glue is on. Is the clock on? Y'all ready?
Yep.
Ready.
Okay. Damn, she did that quickly.
You know, I was just like, okay.
One. So you just lay it on your lash, right? Literally, lay it on your lash. Lay it, because it's laid. It ain't even stuck yet. See, it's just laid. You got your tweezers. Grab the tip. Stick that thing on there.
Mm-hmm. Boom. That's
pretty.
Do give them a little. Was that 60 seconds? Or was that 60 seconds?
That was like,
yeah, that was 60 seconds.
And then you just have to dry. So, there you go. That's Julia B. Lashwear. Because we on here being special guests. I had to do that one good time. Get at me, ladies. It was nice talking to y'all. I love all y'all beautiful queens. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I was late. I just had to do my thing. You know your girl's a hustler. I'll be doing my thing.
Thank you so much for everything you had to add to the conversation. And it was
definitely no problem.
A pleasure.
Thank you. No problem. Anytime y'all need another special guest, holla at your girl. If you need to add on, holla at your girl. I come in, I talk to y'all. It's nothing.
Yes.
I love y'all podcast. Keep doing your thing.
Thank you.
We'll see you this Saturday. We're ripping the runway. Y'all better come through for the summer fashion show, okay? Come through. Kelda and Chuck is hosting. Y'all come through. Support Black Business is $40. We about to have some dope fashion designers on the runway, and we doing that thing. Diamond, I need to see you on the next fashion show. Stop playing with me, chocolate. Okay, that's, I'm missing my sis. I'm like, we're Diamond at. We're Diamond at. Yeah, because Diamond's supposed to be there walking. You ain't retired.
I'll be walking. I'll be there with
you. Okay. That's supposed to be you ain't retired. Okay.
No, I didn't retire.
And Brandy is there too.
Shoot. Yeah, Brandy too.
I'm babysitting.
You ain't retired.
I'm full of kids this weekend. I'm going to have like 5 little girls with me.
Oh, okay.
And a dog.
And a dog.
Yeah.
Tea time.
But you know, tea time. When I don't have the babies, I come and I support them. I don't have them kids. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Kids come first. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Julia B. Lashwear, everybody on Instagram. Satin bonnets, cotton bonnets, lashes. Get at your girl, mine.
All right, so that was Julia B. You know what I'm saying? My girl doing her thing. Thank you, Diamond, for joining us as usual in the conversations. And we're going to see y'all next time.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Diva Talk Podcast. See you guys later. Bye.
Peace.
Oh, yes.